Hi, this is Commander Wiz Withers, and welcome to Military Leadership Blog, where we discuss leadership lessons gleaned from the pages of military history. Today I want to talk a little bit about World War II, and specifically the beginnings of it. I've been thinking about this conflict a lot recently. I think part of it is because of the recent release of Ken Burns' outstanding documentary, The War, which chronicles World War II. It's an outstanding movie, as I said, and I highly recommend it. By the spring of 1940, Adolf Hitler is the undisputed master of continental Europe, and his next step is what he calls Operation Sea Lion. Now, I'm not going to embarrass myself and try to pronounce the German of that, but Sea Lion is essentially the invasion of Britain, and he sets a date for September of 1940. So in July, he starts using his Luftwaffe, his air force, to attack coastal facilities along the English Channel in preparation for the invasion. But the Royal Air Force comes through in a really, really big way. It really deals the Germans some huge losses. Just did a fantastic job of this. So Hitler decides, well, in order to get air superiority, he needs to knock out the Royal Air Force. So he changes his targets and he starts going after the airfields and the fuel storage facilities and the aircraft manufacturing facilities for the Royal Air Force. He just sends wave after wave of bombers escorted by fighters. And the Royal Air Force again comes through, but it is a close-run thing. They are losing a lot of aircraft, and they cannot replace them fast enough since all their facilities are coming under attack. Now, this is the Battle of Britain. This is what Winston Churchill talking about when never was so much owed by so many to so few. And the Royal Air Force really shined then, but they were starting to lose the battle. And then what this club been called a fortunate accident occurred. One night, there's this one German bomber crew that gets separated from its formation. Now, it's flying alone at night. Now, Britain is blacked out. And now, personally, I can testify to this because I've done this. I have flown over water at night. And I tell you, it is so black. It can get so black, especially if there's no moon, that you can't tell what's up and what's down. You have to believe your instruments. And it's a very unsettling and unnerving feeling. So you got this one German bomber crew over enemy territory by himself. It's supposed to be attacking an aircraft factory. So they get to where they think they're supposed to go, and they drop their bombs and go home. Well, it turns out they missed the factory, and they actually hit a residential suburb of London. So it was a non-military target. Well, Winston Churchill, Prime Minister Churchill, just takes the bit in the teeth, and he is just so infuriated at what just happened here. He sends out his own wave of bombers, and they go all the way across France and into Germany and actually drop bombs on Berlin. Well, this had an interesting effect because Hitler is absolutely furious. How dare those Brits get all the way through their defenses undetected and then sully the capital of Berlin. So Hitler changes his targets, and he starts going after the city of London itself. Now this of course, you know, was a hugely, you know, costly thing for the civilians of London. You've seen the pictures, you know, the people hiding in the bomb shelters coming out just where the rubble is. But what it did do is it gave the Royal Air Force a chance to recover, because their facilities were now no longer under attack, and their factories could start cranking out more airplanes, and they could get the rest of their pilots trained. And they were able to inflict such huge losses on the Germans that Hitler, the deadline for the invasion passed. Hitler delayed it once, and then he just kind of put it on hold, and then he canceled it altogether. And of course, we all know what happened then, and that's when all of the Allied air bases set up in Great Britain, and that's from where we attacked France in 1944 and ultimately won the war. Okay. Now, what I want to talk about specifically, though, is well, first off, don't get me wrong. I don't think there's anything about Adolf Hitler that should be emulated, okay? But I want to talk about his decision-making process here just for a second. He knows he wants to invade, and he knows the Royal Air Force is keeping him from being able to take over control of the air. So he starts going after all of the facilities for the Royal Air Force. I mean, this makes sound military sense. And then he gets angry when the bombs are dropped in Berlin, and he changes his targets, and he starts attacking the city. And nobody either thought or nobody had the courage to ask him, is attacking the city going to help us with our objective of invading Britain? And so this is the question. This is the question that I ask myself. I need to do it more often than I do. But this is the question I'd like you to consider this. Just consider this for a little bit for thought. Are the things that you're doing today, right now, are they going to get you to where you want to go? I'll give an example of how this kind of plays out in my life. When I retired from the Navy, I worked for a public company for a few years. And at one point, the company leadership decided they were going to implement some process improvement. And one of the things they were going to do was come up with a true mission statement to kind of guide all of their decision-making. They really figured that we need to get the company goals together and put it in one concise statement so we can base everything on that. Okay. So the CEO called in all of his division presidents and vice presidents, and they all met up in the corporate headquarters in the Washington, D.C. area. And I was talking to a friend of mine who sat in on some of these meetings. And he was telling me, he says, Wiz, this was something else. We got there with the idea of we're really going to go forward with the vision for our company. He said, and then we started working on the vision statement, the mission statement. And we got so wrapped up in the words. He said, I don't know if you've ever tried to create a document by committee, but it's a very, very painful process. He says, we got so wrapped up in the words. He said, we spent at least an hour discussing whether it should be the benefits of the employees or the benefits for the employees. We spent an hour discussing that. He said, and over 3 months, in about 3 months of working on this, you know, periods of time here and there, he said, it became everybody, all they wanted to do, all everybody wanted to do was just get the mission statement done. He said, getting that done became the goal in and of itself. And by the time we were through with it and got through all of the revisions by committee, everybody was so sick of it that they published it, put it on the shelf, and that was the end of the process improvement. But I just want to leave this thought with you. Are the things that you're doing, are the things that your company is doing, the things that your staff is doing, the things that's going on in your life, if you're trying to lose weight or something like that, is what you're doing going to get you to where you want to go? Or perhaps because over time, little decisions made here and there have kind of taken you off target. Just something to think about. And if you do, I ask you to comment here on the blog. Now let me know what you think. You know, do you think I'm on target here? Do you see some examples of this in your business? Or do you think I'm just way, way off base? Either way, I'd really appreciate knowing what you think. Okay. So join the discussion, and I look forward to hearing from you. So until next time, for Military Leadership Blog, I'm Commander Wiz Withers. Thanks for listening.